Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
I find it very hard to see the logic behind some of the moves you have made with this fine organization.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All right, here comes the judge.
Aaron Judge, the Yankees want to give him $17 million, Judge wants $21 million. Hey, Yankees, $4 million. Hal's got that in the ashtray.
Today's guest, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, Eagles offensive tackle Lane Johnson, senior writer for Sports Illustrated Chris Mannix, plus actor Michael Mando. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes, indeed. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. 3 hours of fun and frolic. Good times coming up. Jay Billis will be joining us here on this program as the NBA draft goes down tomorrow night. Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated will join us as well. So Jay's going to handle the whole business about who's going to get drafted. And Chris Mannix will talk about all the intrigue that's going on behind the scenes and pick swaps and things of that nature that could play into tomorrow night's NBA draft. Lane Johnson, the Philadelphia Eagles, will be joining us. And then the actor Michael Mando, who plays Nacho Varga in Better Call Saul, one of our favorite shows. He's going to be here in person.
Love it.
Yeah, baby. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm great.
Good. Okay. Good to see you, Jay Felly. Good to see you over there.
Rich?
DJ Mikey D handling his, USFL duties.
Sure.
Or something. I saw a picture.
Sure.
He was tweeting out photographs of him on a plane.
The first time he's ever been in first class. He's like, hey, look at me.
Oh, my God. TJ Jefferson, light the candle. What's up,
yes,
sir?
Yes, indeed. I mean, there's a lot up, Rich.
Well, you've been doing expert work in a daily segment that we've been running.
I appreciate
for
that.
Almost a week now. The number one player in the history of every franchise in the NFL, and we break it down division by division. Which division do you have for us later today?
Today we have the AFC South.
AFC South.
Yes.
All right.
So
Fantastic.
Looking forward to getting all the backlash from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah, fans.
And you know, they always do let you know. And once again, no coaches are involved in this. So Urban Meyer is out.
Out.
He cannot be on this list.
Kicked out.
Good job.
Hey,
thank you, Jay.
Once this is over, I'm going to debut my new segment, The Worst Person in Franchise History.
Oh, okay. We'll do the opposite.
I'm going to do the opposite.
Very masshole of you to do that. Very good. We'll workshop that later on.
That's YouTube only, so I can
curse. We'll workshop that later on. Love it. Love it. Okay. Let's start with the latest on the LIV Tour. Whose money does not jiggle, it folds.
It's black.
It's oil. It folds.
It's oil rich.
Their money folds.
Yes.
It's oil.
So I guess it goes gurgle.
Yeah.
And folds. Interesting.
The money pours.
So the latest on all this, as we're now matriculating our way to the final major of the year after the U.S. Open, right off the bat, I mean, as soon as the LIV Tour came into being and was going through all of their well-manicured and occasionally off-the-rails press conferences to announce everything, the U.S. Open came out and said, yeah, they're welcome here. And I think they made that announcement before the PGA Tour suspended a single player, actually. And the conversations that we've been having here all the time, and those who consume the show here on Peacock or SiriusXM or this terrestrial radio affiliate or Odyssey or our podcast, YouTube.com, once we're all done, you know we've been talking about it for darn near a month. And I said a couple weeks ago that maybe the PGA Tour is waiting to have the rest of the majors weigh in, the Open Championship, which is set for next month in St. Andrews, and the Royal and Ancient, what will they say? And then, of course, the Green Jackets down in Augusta. And Alan Shipnuck, who wrote the book on Phil, from which the quote that launched this whole hoo-ha all year long, involving the Live Tour and the Saudis and things of that nature. He said, "Don't expect the Royal and Ancient or Augusta National to come in and weigh in on this at all. They're just going to let everybody come in. They have one tournament a year. They want the best field possible. They don't want any part of this conversation." And sure enough, the Royal and Ancient, which operates the Open Championship, has chimed in. The chief executive of the RNA, named Martin Slumbers, which sounds like a character from Austin Powers. Martin Slumbers, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
My name is Martin Slumbers, baby.
Do I make you Randy, baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
His Berman nickname is Martin Golden Slumbers. But this is across the pond, so I'm not going to read this statement in a British accent.
I can't keep it up.
It's just I can't keep this whole thing up. The accent. Here we go. Martin Slumbers. Baby, yeah. He says, the Open is golf's original championship.
Oh.
And since it was first played in 1860. Damn. Ah, it's a long time ago. There's a lot of mashies out there, right?
Bangers.
Yeah, there's no mashers and bangers and mashies.
Bangers and mashies back then. I think the ball was wooden back then.
Oh, gosh.
The clubs definitely were.
The drinks cart was pulled by a horse. All right, let's get back on this.
I want your finest ale once I make the turn.
All right, here we go. The Open is golf's original. Let's treat this with the seriousness it deserves.
Of course. Obviously.
Round of drinks for the boys, 5 cents.
The Open is golf's original championship, and since it was first played in 1860, openness has been fundamental to its ethos and unique appeal.
Wow. Fundamental to the ethos?
Yeah, I think you know where this is going. Players who are exempt or have earned a place through qualifying for the 150th Open in accordance with the entry terms and conditions will be able to compete in the championship at St. Andrews. We are focused on staging world-class championship in July and celebrating this truly historic occasion for golf. We will invest the proceeds of the Open, as we always do, for the benefit of golf, which reflects our purpose to ensure that the sport is thriving 50 years from now. 51 years from now. Who cares?
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Great job. Is
that a soundbite from Martin?
It is now.
Doesn't that sound like an Austin Powers name, Martin Slumbers?
Groovy,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Oh, my God.
So the Royal and Ancient says, let's come on in.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
So, the Live Tour goes on. Their next tournament is next week in Oregon, right?
Correct.
And maybe, just maybe, Brooks Koepka will make his debut there. Because it was last week at the U.S. Open when he was asked about all this. He's just, come on, let's not put a dark cloud over the U.S. Open by asking a multiple champion of this event whether he's going to go take the Saudi money, which I'm going to do. By the way, he didn't say that, but he did say it was put a black cloud over the U.S. Open. And then once the U.S. Open is over, ESPN reports and a whole bunch of others confirm it's going to be Brooks Koepka on the Live Tour, where his brother already is. And yesterday we were talking about, well, wait a minute, he's supposed to be at the Travelers Championship this week at the TPC at Cromwell, Connecticut, where I have
the old stomping ground.
I've left my mark. And divots, and if you dragoon the water holes, you might find a whole bunch of my pellets from back in my day of getting on there when I was at ESPN. And Brooks tweeted out in April. He was coming, excited to return to the at Travelers Championship. See you in June, retweeting the Travelers announcing his arrival on April 13. That's how it started. As the kids say on social media now, how's it going? PGA Tour Communications. Brooks Koepka is a WD from the Travelers Championship and replaced in the field by Mark Hubbard.
Mark Hubbard.
Any relation to Glenn?
About Chubba.
From back in the day.
Chubba Hubbard.
WD is withdrawal. It has nothing to do with maybe a 40 or, yeah, you're not, okay. You're hearing a little creak of the door opening for the Live Tour. Is there not, they're not greasing it with the old WD-40.
As I'm staring at a can of it right here.
Chris, who is Mark Hubbard? Because I'd like to know who he is. He might be my favorite new golfer player on the PGA Tour. Who is Mark Hubbard?
All right, Chris? Guys, Mark Hubbard is a 33-year-old man from Denver, Colorado.
Yes, he is.
He's a man.
He went to San Jose State University.
Okay.
And according to his PGA Tour bio, he's got 3 career wins.
Okay.
On tour.
Okay.
He is, world golf ranking, he's the 280th ranked player in the world. He turned pro in 2012. So he's been grinding for quite some time. He has a career well round of 63.
Oh.
Impressive.
That, by the way, would be 9 strokes off the $54 million bonus on the Live Tour.
Yes. He's made it even 100 cuts in his career. And he's made about $4 million in earnings.
There he is on the screen.
And he's got a great Twitter name, guys. His name is Homeless Hubs.
By the way, with the beard a little bit, he's if Koepka had a beard, right? All right. He looks like Koepka incognito. Let's go, Mark.
We're going to start following. Yeah. By the way, he has less than 10,000 followers.
Let's go.
Everyone follow at Homeless Hubs right now. He is our new favorite player.
How amazing would it be if the guy who gets in the field because Koepka taps out for the big money, a guy who's grinding on the tour since 2012, wins the Travelers?
That's what's up.
And the first 2 PGA Tour stops around the U.S. Open, while the Live Tour is conducting its business now, operational, is won by Rory McIlroy at the very pinnacle of the profession and a grinder like this guy. Let's go, Mark Hubbard. I'm rooting for you. If you need any help with course knowledge, I can look at my notes from 1999 when I was in the celebrity long drive competition.
Oh, what?
And was introduced. Is introduced by the local disc jockey there in Hartford, Connecticut, is Rick Risen, much to the delight of Mike Tirico, who is there. And he still calls me Rick Risen every now and then because he loved that.
And Dina Menzel?
Berman was there, too. I mean, that was a big to-do there at the TPC Cromwell.
Rick Risen.
Let's go.
Did he put Rich's name in the John Travolta name generator?
Rick Bad Moon Rising.
That's Reese Edgins.
Reese Edgins.
Let's go. Mark Hubbard. This would be amazing. So, by the way, my if you will take on the Live Tour yesterday, saying that they're not helping, they're not growing the game of golf. What they are growing is the prize pool of the PGA Tour, though. See that? They kicked over a rock. Like a prudential rock or something. Like,
hey, look at all this cash.
And all of a sudden, the prize pools are going up.
And they're rumored to like basically be starting something that looks a lot like the Live Tour starting next year.
Is that right?
Top 50 in the FedEx points. They're going to play this like 8-event tournament for some big money at the end of the year.
Okay.
So,
all right.
That's a rumor.
Hey, so the rich get richer and... We are, I'm going to shoot you straight. My take yesterday that this is ruining golf or it's destroying golf. Because, you know, as Kevin Clark of The Ringer came on, said it's going to potentially create 2 AAA tours. You know, one with some big names, but no real history, no history at all, and no competition. Like, everybody gets paid. You know, you're all on a shotgun start like it's a Monday afternoon at a charity event, you know. Takes 19 hours to do a round for you. It takes just 3.5-4 hours for them. And then, you know, another tour that has fewer stars on it. And that's what Kevin Clark said. And a lot of you folks didn't like that take on YouTube. I saw that. But look, let's be honest, man. We're all just waiting for the NFL to start right now. I know we got Stanley Cup final, singular, game 4 coming up. That's why this story, we're constantly talking about it. And plus... The Open Championships right around the corner, and we were waiting to hear what they have to say. And Martin Slumbers, who runs the Royal NA, said that everybody can go play.
Here's another reason to like Mark Hubbard, everyone out there, as we try to pump him up.
Let's go.
Over 10,000 followers on Twitter.
Yes.
He putts in a unique way.
What do you mean?
He uses a very tiny, like, mini golf putter that you would get
like at the Billy Beru golf range. He uses a Billy Beru.
And not only does he use this, he uses something called the snail technique stroke. It looks a lot like Larry David. He puts his right hand
at the at the bottom at the shaft.
Down near the head of the putter.
That's how Larry putts.
And he putts.
That's how Larry putts.
So not only does Mark Hubbard, I mean,
we got to let Larry know about this.
Let's go.
Is he chatting putting? Is that what he's doing? Is that the putting chat?
I just got two people sending me a video of him doing this, and it looks completely absurd, but it's actually amazing.
It's the putting chat.
It's like Happy Gilmore.
It's the chat.
Like Happy Gilmore, kind of the hockey
putt,
style.
Right? You chat and cut. Chat and putt.
Chat and putt, but he calls it snail technique.
Oh. So. All right.
Mark Hubbard, let's go.
Mark Hubbard.
At Homeless Hub.
Two guys that I didn't know I appreciated more than I even knew. That makes no sense. But that's Mark Hubbard, who's taken Brooks Koepka's spot in the Travelers, and Martin Slumbers of the Royal and Ancient. He just came out and he dropped some knowledge. Everybody from the Live Tour can play, and then he used the word ethos. That's stuff that happens across the pond, you know?
Yeah, I wrote that down as a fantasy name.
Yeah.
Which is
fundamental.
Fundamental to the ethos.
Fundamental to the ethos.
To its ethos,
yeah. Although that might be the Who song. I'm not sure.
Fundamental. That sounds like what? Deep Purple? I don't know. Jay Billis is coming up. Who should be number one overall in the NBA draft? And let's talk a little bit of tomorrow night's intrigue in the association. 1 week after the Warriors bounced the Celtics and lifted the Larry O.B., it is time to put hats on prospects and see them get drafted by teams that trade their rights within 5 minutes and confuse the hell out of all of us because they're still attached to that team because the new league year hasn't begun yet. I mean, it's weird. But it's tomorrow night, and Jay Billis will talk about it. Lots of intrigue. Looks like the Philadelphia 76ers are hawking Matisse Thybulle in the 23rd overall selection to everybody. Do you hear what Woj had to say on the Worldwide Leader?
Something about get a call?
He said if you're a general manager in the league and you haven't been offered number 23 overall in Matisse Thybulle for a player on your team by Daryl Morey, you have not powered your phone on.
I was going to say, or you have no good players.
I think everybody's got at least one good player that Daryl Morey would like to have on the Philadelphia 76ers. So Chris Mannix on all the latest and intrigue there. Michael Mando, who plays Nacho Varga on one of our favorite shows, Better Call Saul, in studio hour number 3. And Lane Johnson of the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll talk a little bit of ball with him. The best players in the history of every team in the AFC South from TJ Jefferson and you at 844-204-RICH. Off and running on this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. He will be part of the Worldwide Leader's coverage of the NBA draft, as he always is, so expertly. One of our favorites of all time on this program. Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line from the Worldwide Leader in Sports is none other than Jay Billis. How are you, Jay?
You know, Rich, I prefer integral part, but you introduce me however you like.
You know what? I haven't written it down, so I could write it down. Integral part. That's a very, very, very good Duke word right there. Integral part. I am writing that down.
Yeah, my mother prefers indispensable, but okay. I don't want to go too far.
Understood. You're a humble man. It's very hard to, you know, you stay humble when you're stunting on the ESPN Jumbotron. I understand that. So where are you in New York yet? Are you there?
Yeah, we're in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
The Brooklyn Marriott staring out at a beautiful skyline of six-story buildings.
So what are you expecting tomorrow night? You're expecting Gonzaga to give us something first? Is it Chet Holmgren? Is that where we're going first tomorrow night? What do you think?
The first thing, Rich, I'm expecting is solid sort of liquid intake management on my part, because this is my 20th draft, and it becomes more difficult to go 6 hours without taking a leak than it used to be. So tomorrow is going to definitely be a very much a dry day until after the draft.
Smart move.
I don't have to exit the desk in a hurry. But yeah, it's going to be. I think the top three are pretty solidified. I mean, I still think, you know, there's a chance that, you know, I think a lot of people are expecting Jabari Smith of Auburn to go number one to Orlando. I happen to agree with that, but I don't discount the possibility that Chet Holmgren of Gonzaga goes number one. That's somewhat of a coin flip to me. And then Paolo Banchero, I think, is locked in at number three to Houston. And Sacramento has the fourth pick. And I think Jaden Ivey of Purdue will be the fourth pick. Now, whether Sacramento keeps that pick or not, we'll see. But I think that's the top four. And then really, I think what happens at number five is what really starts the, you know, people questioning whether it's the right move or not.
So let's take it a couple at a time right here. You just mentioned it's your 20th NBA draft, and you've been watching drafts forever and a day. Before all that, has there ever been a first overall pick, let's just say in Chet Holmgren, who then gets worked out by his new strength and conditioning coach on the spot, on the stage? Has that ever happened before, Jay?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like when Kevin Durant came out in 2007 and we got all wrapped up in the fact that the combine, he couldn't lift 185 pounds. and we were like, oh, my God, you know, he can't do this. And like, they don't stop the game for a bench press contest, he'll be fine. And he's turned out to be better than fine. And same thing with Holmgren. Like, he's got a Sean Bradley body, which doesn't sound good, given that Sean Bradley, rest in peace, was not a great NBA player. But the game's changed, and Holmgren's a different player. He's not a low-post big guy. He's a perimeter player he's kind of a baby Giannis in the way he plays, except he shoots it way better than Giannis. He's a 40% three-point shooter, and he really can grab a rebound and bring the ball up with guard skills. He can pass it, can, you know, spin in the lane and finish with either hand. I mean, he's a fantastic talent, and I don't think there's going to be a problem for that body in the league. It's just I've had a mental hurdle to get over. It's like my old man Neanderthal basketball brain kind of looks at that body going, wow, how's that going to hold up in the NBA? And the NBA is not a tough man contest. In fact, some of the power forwards that used to play in the league and were, you know, the big tough players probably wouldn't be in the league right now because they're not coveted. You know, they might make a team, but they wouldn't be starters like they were because they can't stretch the floor and shoot it. And, you know, the game's really changed in that regard. And Holmgren, I think, is a reflection of that kind of change. He's a perimeter big guy. He's not a low post guy.
So while you were talking about him, we were showing a couple pictures on the screen from, Gonzaga's season. While we're just on the subject matter of Gonzaga, are you surprised that Drew Timmy earlier this month withdrew and said, I'm going back to school for a senior year? Are you surprised by that?
Not really. He did the same thing last year. And I don't know. You know, it's easy to say he enjoys college or all that. He'll be the player of the year this next year, just sort of as he was right there for it this year. He probably looks at his experience as being some unfinished business as far as winning a national championship. They could have done it a couple years ago. They had a chance last year and got knocked out before the Sweet 16, or before the Elite Eight, which hardly ever happens with them. I don't know all the reasons he came back. I'm, you know, selfishly glad I get to watch him another year because he's a fantastic player to watch.
I've got Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. So who's got the biggest upside? Is it Holmgren? I mean, to use the draft parlance right here in the NBA.
Yeah, the parlance of our time. Mm-hmm. He has the highest ceiling, but Jabari Smith of Auburn is right there with him. And I liken Smith to, you know, even though this is blasphemy to say it, but you know, he reminds you a little bit of Durant with what a magnificent shooter he is. He shoots 42% for three, made 79 threes on the year. And, you know, he's one of just a few players in the last 25 years to have scored 500 points, I think it's 250 rebounds, and hit over 75 threes. And one of them's Kevin Durant. The other was Dante Green from Syracuse. And so it's been a long time since Dante Green, but the fact there's only been three in the last 25 years shows you and me that he's a super talented player. He's also very good defensively. Like, he could switch and guard multiple positions. He can block shots. He rebounds defensively at a high rate. I think he's the real deal, but I can understand, like, you know, if Holmgren pans out to be an all-star player, which I think he will, then it's a question of, not so much was it the right decision, it's was it the best decision? Because you can, Adrian Wojnarowski said this yesterday, there could be two right decisions here, and I think that's a fair way to put it. But you know how it is. Like, whichever player's better, you're going to look back, and if Orlando takes the second best player first, you know, we're going to look back in 10 years and just hammer their decision here, even though it's a coin flip.
Similar to the way that we were hammering the decisions of the Sixers and Lakers before Jason Tatum right now? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, very much so. And look, how many drafts have we had in any sport where a player further down the line has turned out to be the better player? And football gets 4 and 5 years to look at those guys in college. Basketball gets a year for the best ones. And so it's a little more of a difficult task to determine, you know, to separate out productivity from potential and trying to project where somebody's going to be in 5 years, 10 years versus, you know, what they look like now. And look, I mean, it's difficult. It's not impossible, but I have a lot of respect for those decisions and how difficult they can be.
Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show, getting set to be an integral part of the ESPN draft coverage on Thursday night. Did I say that right?
You did. I'm a little bothered by the whole Rich Eisen Show thing. I mean, it's so much about you, and it's not really a we thing with you, is it?
Well, I'll bite. What do you mean, Jay? What are you saying?
You know, it always used to rankle me when SportsCenter anchors, of which you were an outstanding one.
Thank you.
Would throw to game day and say, now let's go out to Reese and the guys. And I'm like, screw you. How about Jay Billis, Seth Greenberg, LaPhonso Ellis, and the host?
Yes.
You know, they don't say that.
Right.
Very disappointing. But you don't even have, it's not even Rich Eisen and the guys. It's just the Rich Eisen Show.
Ah.
look at me.
Well, it's called a radio reset. And on top of it, Jay, I mean, my gosh, I mean, talk about harboring 2 decades of resentment.
It's longer than that.
I mean, that was almost Tommy Pham-like, going and slapping Jock Peterson months after the fact. You know, I mean, my gosh, I didn't.
It just didn't occur to me. I mean, you got the silhouette of yourself. I mean, there's not even anybody in the background watching you run with your suit on.
That's true. These are all facts, Jay. Guilty as charged.
Wait, should we be on the side? I just used
his preferred adjective in setting him up. You know,
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. You're making strides, but boy, that Rich Eisen Show thing, long way to go.
Jay Billis,
a lot of upside there.
Jay Billis, who's more than just a guy, as talking about the NBA draft here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, who is the name of the European guy that fans are not familiar with, and they're pissed off that the team is going to draft tomorrow night, but then they'll love him once he starts playing for the team? Who's that guy? In this,
you know,
draft tomorrow night.
There aren't a ton of internationals in this draft that are going to be taken in the first round. There's a big guy, 6'11", Nikola Jovic from Serbia. There's going to be a number of people that call him Jokic by mistake, but really talented player that's very versatile and can knock threes down. I guess you'd say that's stereotypical of what you call an international big guy now, but it's true of players, period. If you can't, it doesn't matter your size. If you can't shoot it, you're not valued as highly anymore, because you've got to be able to stretch the floor. It's a spread floor game now. But he's probably the one that'll stand out in the first round, and there may be some sort of draft and stash players in the second round. There's only 58 guys getting drafted this year, oddly enough. There's 60, usually 60, because there are 30 NBA teams, but two slots late in the second round got forfeited And I don't know what the forfeit policy is.
That's the phrase that the NFL used in reference to the first rounder, the Patriots, forfeited in the Deflategate. That's a word. That's a word, Brockman. Right? You and all your New Englanders, you have a problem with that word.
Yeah, forfeited. Sure, it was forfeited. Got it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that. I don't know what that's about.
Stolen.
I'm not. As you know, words can be fungible items. Jay, you know that, right?
Yeah, I prefer vacated. Forfeited. you vacated it.
That's another way to put it.
But vacated indicates it was voluntarily given up.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so there's 58 first or the 58 draft choice. I mean, that's a quicker night for you.
Isn't forfeit voluntary? You don't forfeit by accident.
That's true too. By the way, don't mess with words with Jay Billis. He's gonna parry and thrust the whole time. Don't worry about it.
I'm just still mad about it.
This is a man who once put Barney on the stands, as we know here on the Rich Eisen Show, and the guys here on our program.
See how easy that was?
I know.
That's a Jay's point.
Shout out to Jay for looking out.
No.
Appreciate you, Jay.
Hey, Jay, you're also our Duke Whisperer. So before I let you go into your Brooklyn afternoon and evening, John Rothstein's podcast, College Hoops Today, had Coach K on, and this is what he had to say about attending Duke games coming up this fall.
John knows I'm here. I won't be able to go to any games, you know. Not because he doesn't want me there or I don't want to be there, but, you know, there's no place in Cameron where you can, you know, a box or something where you can just get away from the maddening crowd. So that's going to be frustrating because I'd like to be there, but I also don't want to be in the way. And,
so you don't plan on going to any Duke games next year?
No. Unless it could be on the road.
Right.
If it's in a venue that has, you know, a box, you know, someplace where that's a distraction. I don't want to be a distraction, and I don't need for people to see me.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I've been seen enough, and but I do behind the scenes want John to always know, and I think he does know this. In fact, I know he knows this, that I'm there if he needs me at any time.
So what did you make of that, Jay? Surprised by that? Not surprised? What
do you think? No, I'd heard him say that he wasn't going to go to the games. I hadn't heard the box theory that because Duke would build a skybox tomorrow if he wanted to go to the game. I don't think he wants to be the distraction, frankly. And that, you know, when John Wooden retired at UCLA, he sat in the stands. And I'm not sure that was as helpful when people might not be happy with the coach looking at arguably at that time the greatest coach of all time, maybe still, and saying, wait a minute, can you take a few steps down to the floor? That's not maybe it's not about. I don't know, but I think the truth is, Rich, that he's got pickleball games scheduled, and because that's what's going to happen is Coach K is going to rise up the level of ranked pickleball players. You know, he and his wife is a doubles combo. Mickey, I think pickleball. You know, he's not a shuffleboard guy. He doesn't play golf.
Wow.
He used to play racquetball and tennis. So I think the natural thing for him now is to rise up the ranks in pickleball.
You have no idea into the troubled waters into which you have unwittingly waded,
Rich, Jay. You know how old Coach K is?
Because
he's 75.
I play pickleball and enjoy it. It's a hell of a workout. It's great. I love it. And Brockman thinks it's for people of a certain age, and the fact that you just used it in the same sentence as a 70-some-odd-year-old man.
75.
And also shuffleboard.
That's what's next for you, bud.
I don't know what else to say other than that's wrong.
Well, I'm sure, Rich, you're an outstanding pickleball player. Given your athleticism, I've seen you run with a suit on. Very few guys do it as gracefully as you do.
Yes.
I think Coach K would kick your ass on a pickleball court. He's got a level of competitiveness that frankly, I'm not sure as competitive as you are, you'd be able to sniff. And look, I'm not sure. Maybe your pickleball play with Susie is all about you as well.
Yes.
Whether it's just your name on the pickleball court, nobody else's. I'm hoping that when I see your logo for the Rich Eisen show, that there'll be some other silhouettes in there going forward.
No.
Because you're propped up by an outstanding crew there that doesn't get... I mean, it gets a lot of credit from your listeners, but clearly not from the host.
Look, Jay, this is all very slanderous.
There's no officials.
There's no officials that Coach K will be able to work and make afraid of him. You know, it'll be an even playing court, you know? So I don't know if he'll be able to handle any of that smoke.
Oh, he's got a direct line down to the officials' locker room.
That
won't be a problem. He'll be able to intimidate them just with his former presence in the building. I don't think that'll be a problem.
Damn. I did not expect the answer to the question that I said. I even had the soundbite cut and everything. You know, I played it for the guest.
Set him up.
And then I just had no idea the broadside was part of this thing.
Jay, I also thought you were going to say Coach K Kink doesn't want to go to the games because he's going to be coaching. So he's already going to be in the building.
I think he's done. I think he's done with all that stuff. But you know. I would like to see him go to the games if he wants to, but I don't know that he's able to do anything that he used to do when he was just a normal Joe. Like, I don't think he goes to the grocery store. He goes out to dinner, but you know, it's usually a private room type thing when he goes to dinner. And I can't remember. I don't think he knows any of the rules for commercial air travel anymore, liquids and all that stuff, because I don't think he's been in a commercial airport in 20 years. I think he'd like to go to the games, but I do think it would be a distraction. People be looking at him, trying to get his autograph and all that stuff. It's kind of like when you go to games, Rich. in the studio.
Jay is on fire today.
All right, Jay. I appreciate it. I see you. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night with who's on the set with you. I'm really keen to know who you are on the set with tomorrow night.
Who cares? It's called the NBA Draft with Jay Billis.
No, that's right. You'll be bringing your thesaurus for Woj to tip his picks with different ways of saying the words about to select. I love that. That's my favorite part of the night, is his Twitter feed like that. That's good stuff.
My favorite part is looking at Twitter to see the drinking games that get established every time I say wingspan, which is going to be a lot in this draft. The amount of drunk people watching, there will be faces hitting the floor before the 10th pick.
Well, what's the over-under on Chet Holmgren's wingspan mentions? That's got to be what? We'll set that at 3.5? What do you think? Just for Chet Holmgren alone.
Easily. Like, 1 year after these drinking games were established, I did not say the word wingspan the whole draft. I came up with other things. I would say, great linear extent in space and things like that. And the whole draft, I didn't say it one time. I can't remember how long ago that was. That was a tremendous sort of
huge upset.
Tremendous challenge on my part.
Huge upset. All right, Jay, I look forward to watching you tomorrow night. Hit him straight after all that, and then when you're back here in LA, let me know. I'd love to have you up here as always in person. Thanks for the call, Jay.
Looking forward to it, Rich. I'll be there. Thanks,
you got it. That's Jay Billis right here on the Rich Eisen Show with Chris Brockman, TJ Jefferson, and Jason Feller.
Thank you.
And not Mike Del Tufo.
What an all-star appearance from
he was feeling it.
Jay Billis. Also, just a quick correction.
Sean Bradley is alive.
Yeah. Still with us, but he was in a terrible accident.
I know that.
Now paralyzed.
Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. A pop culture anniversary is going to spark a conversation here, right? It's a big anniversary for one of our favorite sports movies, although some people think it's not a sports movie. That's coming up next on the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on our program, the Callaway Rogue Irons. There's four different types. You should go check them out. Certainly there's one for you. If you're a low to mid handicapper, there's a spot for you. Low to mid single digit handicappers have Rogue ST Pro. Put that on your hand and get even lower on your card. Go ahead. If you are a mid to high handicapper, go grab the Max OS. That's the best game improvement model that Callaway's putting out there with their new Rogue ST irons. If you're somebody with a slower swing speed and you need something that is totally lightweight with wider soles and something that's their most high forgiving iron, there's the Max OS Lite. There's the Rogue ST Max, designed for the widest range of players. Just know that the Rogue ST irons that come in four different offerings all use artificial intelligence on high-strength 450 steel. It's the only irons ever to do so. So no other irons perform like the new Rogue ST irons. Find your Rogue ST irons at CallawayGolf.com/GoRogue. We just showed to our Peacock audience Ralph Macchio appearing here in 2018 in advance or just as Cobra Kai was hitting YouTube for the first time, sparking a spectacular run for that show. And a bit of nostalgia, because everybody loves Karate Kid. Which, by the way, hit a theater near you today for the first time 38 years ago. 38 years ago. So, that got us to thinking. Because we've already been down this road before.
Sure.
About, is it a sports movie or not? I mean, it really is about a coming-of-age story. It's about a fish-out-of-water story. Right. It's about a kid who doesn't have a dad but finds a dad in somebody who makes him more confident and makes him a terrific competitor in the field of karate.
Used him to just clean up his house.
Yes.
All of his fixed
paint the
car.
Fence, wax on, wax off. But, of course, it does end in a cinema competition. Sporting. A sporting event.
Yes.
Does that make it a sports movie? I say no, actually.
It's more like a teen high school.
There's movie, so many different ways to look at The Karate Kid.
It's great.
But we're going to look at it in terms of what, Chris, today?
We're going to look at it in terms of fictional sporting events. So Smitch and I were talking this morning. Which fictional sporting event would you have most liked to attend?
Ah.
So we're talking about the All-Valley Karate Championship. Some other ones, Billy Chappell's Perfect Game from For the Love of the Game, Costner. How about the Khans versus the Guards in the original Longest Yard?
And where would you, I mean, we're not thinking about where you're attending this, right? Where how you're attending this. Are you a prisoner?
No, I was thinking more of the fan.
Okay. So you get to leave the penitentiary
you
at the end of the day.
You get to go home afterwards.
All right. Yeah. So now I'm interested.
How about the 51 Indiana High School Basketball State Championship?
Get a seat in the Butler Fieldhouse?
Hickory against South Bend Central.
Okay.
Some other ones we're thinking about, Rocky versus Drago. How about the championship game in the Mighty Ducks?
Do you have a 2 cents on this one, TJ?
Yeah, you know me, but mine are
Was there a sporting event in The Last Boy Scout that I missed?
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about that because I want to ruin the movie for you. Rudy, obviously, right off the bat.
That is
Rudy
fictional. Gets,
Rudy's real.
That is fictional.
Rudy,
I agree.
Rudy's a real game.
I agree.
I didn't hear you say, my bad.
Sorry,
you
I agree.
Say,
fictional.
You I
agree.
Fictional.
My bad.
I would absolutely
There's
love to be at that
video
fictional
of him
event.
Getting a sack.
Total fiction.
You know. Remember the Titans, strong side, left side, just to be there with Coach Boone and those kids, or I don't know, like maybe one of Henry Rogengartner starts. And,
by the way, we got to open the phone lines to this, 844-204-RICH.
There's a lot.
I've got one.
The 2-on-2 basketball tournament and White Man Can't Jump?
That was the next one I was going to say.
It's not a sporting event.
It is. For Hoopers, it is.
A Venice Beach.
I mean, if that counts, then I would want to be one of those people on the train that got off the train to watch a young Roy Hobbs strike out the whammer in 3 pitches. That's not an event. I would have loved to have seen Roy Hobbs strike out the whammer on 3 pitches. Max Mercy behind the plate calling balls and strikes.
So why is that not an
I
event?
I think that counts.
Because it's not an event.
The event in the movie
I'd want to be there for was the Knights versus Pittsburgh, I assume, Pirates pennant, the championship game between those two teams and Roy Hobbs breaking the lights. Okay. That's what I would want to attend. In the stands, you know, not standing room only like Glenn Close, you know?
How about the,
that's the baseball one I'd want to be at.
The final table at the, in the Cincinnati Kid?
Well, you won't do final table. How are you not at the final table in Rounders, right?
Now we're talking. You want to be in KGB's lair while he's going heads up with Mike McD.
See, but that's what, like, an event, like the All Valley
Karate Tournament is a big event.
Right, it's an event.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's anything to do with anything
game,
in a movie.
Event. Yeah, just any sporting thing in a movie.
Like a slap game in Slapshot?
Yeah. Can't do Miracle. Real thing. Really happens.
That's true.
Space Jam.
But you could definitely do Space Jam.
Space Jam.
You could definitely do Rudy, because that wasn't real.
It's definitely real.
I mean, there's video.
Rudy apparently wants to hit me, as you know.
Video on Rudy. I you need to fight Rudy for charity.
You know what I mean? If you're going to disrespect me
like
that. Look
at that Collinsworth-looking dude in the slacks right there. 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
Do we count the Running Man in this?
Oh.
I don't know if I
in
really...
In the crowd at the Running Man?
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, I don't know. That's a very dystopic future I don't want to be part of that.
By the way, shout out to that old lady who wanted to bet Ben Richards because she was a big winner.
Well, as you know, that changed the world.
She knew.
That changed the world.
She was a big winner.
I would have... How about this? I would just show up just so I could get a version of the Running Man home game that Richard Dawson handed out and then tap out. I'd want out. I'd want in and then I'd want out of that world.
How about
unless just long enough for the home game and to meet Maria Conchita Alonso.
Of course.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying.
The basketball finale?
Basketball.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't know. We should call Dan Patrick. He was there for that.
How about Gryffindor wins the Quidditch Cup in Harry Potter?
Oh.
There you go.
Okay, nobody beat me at Quidditch.
You just went Quidditch.
I did.
Poor Adam sitting back there thinking he's going to have an easy day, but now the phone lines are lit.
They just went crazy.
442-04-RICH, number to dial.
Hook and Ladder. Rollerball finale?
Brockman, Hook and Ladder and Friday Night Lights season one.
You don't want to be part of that world. It's a very awful future. You don't want to be part of that. You don't want to be part of that.
Okay.
I would think. Like, you'd have to really want to be there. Like, I would want to go grab, you know, get one of those straw hats and sit in the stands waiting for Roy Hobbs to hit the light stanchion.
Back when people wore suits to baseball
oh,
games?
Oh, gosh, yes. You know me. I would be Natalie clad.
It's too hot.
But in the meantime, I'd want to get off that train and watch Roy Hobbs at the very young age.
I mean, seriously,
strike out
poor,
the Whammer.
Poor Adam. Just six phone lines.
Immediately.
844-204-RICH.
Friday Night Lights, Brockman. You know how many Friday, like Saracen to Riggins to Smash in season one, the Hook and Ladder.
You'd want to go to that over another. I mean, I know we're throwing them out. Like, also, which one would you
now,
really
like, want? With Friday Night Lights season one is like, every play was a Hail Mary to end the game.
It was great.
It's a great season.
It was a great season.
Hell of a season.
It's amazing.
You know.
How about the Bourbon Bowl, Waterboy?
Ah.
Ooh.
Okay.
Good one. Varsity Blues.
Shout out Daniel Kramer. Just
tweet. What part of Varsity Blues would you want to attend? Was that an event?
The whipped cream?
Yeah.
I mean, it was. They were at the gun club.
Allie Larder was front and center of that? Okay.
That was an event.
I don't think that's an event.
It was
not an event.
I want to see the return of Shep and above
might
the rim.
I'll say it. Might have been an event after you watched the movie.
Hey!
Lane Johnson coming up, people.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.